Society and the Young Naturalist Club of BC present a morning nature exploration with hiking, games, wildlife observation, outdoor art, and more. Meet at the Lost Lagoon Nature House at 10 a.m. For more info, visit www.stanleyparkecology.ca. On Sunday, December 6th, Light Up the Square is taking place at Place des Arts in Coquitlam. Make your own lantern and join in the lantern and song procession, taste seasonal fare, and visit with Père Noël. This free event takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. On Monday, December 7th, as part of the ongoing Green College Anti-Olympic Lecture Series, Andrew Jennings will discuss IOC corruption. Would you take these people home to meet your loved ones? Come to the Green College Coathouse, 6201 Cecil Green Park Road, at 5 p.m. to hear this free lecture. Also Monday, Vancouver Public Library presents Who's Afraid of the American Dream? A lecture by Professor Jerry Weiserman on the themes of self-deception and disappointment with life in the works of playwrights Edward Albee, Tennessee Williams, Arthur Miller, and more. Come to the Vancouver Public Library Central Branch at 7:30 p.m. to hear this free lecture. This has been your community events listings for the week of December 2nd to December 8th. Tune in to CITR 101.9 FM every Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. to hear what's going on in your community. If you have a community event that you'd like CITR to announce, email us at psas@citr.ca.
Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Good morning. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie, and today on the show, we have Reverend Julie Montag. She is the chair of the board of the Association of Unity Churches International. So we're going to talk about what Unity is. You may have heard of Unity before. You may have been to a Unity church, or maybe this is a completely new concept to you. So keep listening, because we're going to have lots of information about Unity, and the conversation can really go anywhere, because she just got back from the Parliament of World Religions in Melbourne, Australia. That happens every 5 years when a group of people from all different religions all over the world get together and share their insights and opinions. And we'll talk with Julie more about what that is all about. If you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Or you can also email your questions to spiritualshow@gmail.com. I'll be checking that periodically throughout the show. So you might be listening in Vancouver at 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And thank you so much for tuning in wherever you're from in the world. And I just want to let you know that this is the last Synchronicity of 2009. It's the last show of the year. The Student Union Building will be closed over the Christmas holidays on December 25th and on New Year's Day. And so those are both days that Synchronicity falls on. So the next show will be January 8th. And I believe it's going to be Colette Baron Reed on the show. Don't quote me, because I still need to confirm that. But that is a very strong possibility. So you're going to want to tune in for the first show of 2010 here on 101.9 FM as well. So I'm going to wish you a happy holidays. And I'm going to bring Julie, Reverend Julie Montag, on the air right now. Hi, Reverend Julie.
Hi, Marie.
Hi,
thanks
how are you
for having
doing?
Me on.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. I know that you've just been back from the Parliament of World Religions in Melbourne, so you're probably catching up on a lot of work. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today. I want to start out with an explanation of what Unity is. What is the general philosophy of the Unity religion?
Well, I would say the shortest answer is it's a positive path for spiritual living. We talk about unity being a way of life, a positive way of life. More specifically, unity has Christian roots, but it's very, very honoring and welcoming of all people of all religions, and that has also been from the beginning. Our founders, who founded the denomination in 1859, were New Thought folks that kind of grew out of the Transcendentalists, Emerson and Thoreau and those folks, and were very open to all paths. In fact, later, Charles Fillmore hosted Paramahansa Yogananda at Unity Village, which obviously is a Hindu. And so he really believed that if we could boil down spiritual theology from all religions of the world into basic universal truth principles, and we could adhere to those basic principles of spiritual truth that are universal, we could live our lives in a way that we'd really be empowered to do all the things we want to do, to have the kind of life we want to have. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. One of the things that's very prominent is that we don't believe in heaven and hell as a place, but as a state of consciousness, and that each and every person creates their own heaven and hell right here on earth, right now, moment to moment, based on their viewpoints, their attitudes, their thinking, and their feeling.
Wonderful. I'm thank you for clarifying that, because I have been to your church before, and there's also one in Vancouver. First of all, let's give your church a plug. You're in White Rock, and you've recently moved to a new building. So where are you located now?
Well, we are right on 24th Avenue, and we're sharing church space with the Sunnyside United Church there, very close to King George and 24th. It's actually 156th and 24th, so can't miss it when you're on 24th.
So it's a nice is that building. Technically Surrey or White Rock?
It would be technically Surrey.
Okay.
I think White Rock stops at 16th, so we're on 24th, so we're a few blocks north of White Rock in South Surrey.
And it's in the Sunnyside United Church?
United Church, yeah.
And what time
you can
is
find
your
maps and all of that on our website, which is whiterockunity.com.
So whiterockunity.com. And are you still calling White Rock Unity, Unity of the Valley?
Yeah, that's our official name, Unity of the Valley, but just it's easier for people to connect with us at White Rock Unity because they've always called us that for so long.
Okay, great. So if you are looking for a church like Unity and you live in Surrey or White Rock, check out whiterockunity.com. There's also a Unity Church on Oak Street in Vancouver, Oak and like what, 41st or something like that. So I thank you for clarifying about your viewpoints on heaven and hell, because I know that Unity does have Christian roots, and in Christianity, heaven seems to be this place where your body goes or where your spirit goes after death.
That's right.
Yeah,
and you know, we've kind of said that a lot of traditional Christian churches are for people that are worried about going to hell, and Unity is more a church for people who feel like they've already been to hell here in this earth and want to get out of it right now. Because so many people today are walking around afraid and lost and fearful, just not knowing, you know, how they fit in and how they belong in the world. And Unity really helps people move up in consciousness in their lives, to helping them see their connection to all of life, our oneness with the universe, and that we can be a direct connection to that infinite intelligence, whatever your name for God is, creator, whatever you want to call God, but we all are directly connected, and we don't have to go through any other person or any certain thing to find that connection. It's within us.
Beautiful. Beautifully said. Thank you, Reverend Julie. So for Christmas time, are there any special services that Unity has at Christmas?
Oh, yeah, we love Christmas. We have at our church a family service this Sunday coming up where all of our kids will be involved, and our teenagers and our young adults, and we're focusing on compassionate giving and how we can give of not just our money or things, but of ourselves to each other in deep listening and caring and encouragement and support of each other. So the kids are kind of taking that on this Sunday and telling some great stories about giving and what that means. And then on Wednesday, the 23rd, at 7:30, we have our candle lighting service, which is really one of the most beautiful services, I think, of the year, and so powerful. It's such a good way to get your holiday season kind of centered in that deep peace and sense of connection that we all like to feel with our families and with our community at Christmas time. It's a good start.
Wonderful. And I've been to your New Year's service. You have usually on New Year's or close to the beginning of the year, you have a service where you write on a white stone.
Oh, yes. You've heard of the white stone. We do actually two New Year's services. We do one that is the last Sunday of the year, and it's our burning bowl service. And that's an opportunity for people to think about the things they really don't want to drag with them into the new year. I mean, sometimes we have resentments or hurt feelings or unforgiveness or disappointments or, you know, things where we've kind of judged ourselves and it's holding us back. And so we write all those down, and we actually have a bowl, and everyone gets to come up and burn them and release them, really in a kind of symbolic way. Of course, we have to release them in our minds and our hearts, but it's a symbol of us really letting those things go so that we can go into the new year fresh. And then the next Sunday, the first Sunday of the new year, we have a White Stone Sunday, which is an opportunity to go into some deep quiet within us and ask the question, what is the attribute or the characteristic or the nature that I really want to express more fully in the new year? What is hidden potential in me that really wants to be born and birthed and come forth and get to full expression in the coming new year? And people have had amazing experiences with this service. We ask them to get a word or a phrase and to write it on a white stone. And there's just a passage in the Bible where it talks about how prisoners that are in prison, when they are freed, they're given a white stone as proof of their freedom and liberation. And we do it on a white stone because we know that real, true freedom is that freedom in our spirit, the freedom to know that we're unlimited and that we can be connected to the power of the whole universe and that we really can expand and grow and become more than we ever dreamed. And so that's why we ride on a white stone as a sense of our freedom and liberation to really move ahead and be great this year.
Fantastic. Reverend Julie, is that something that happens just at White Rock Unity, Unity of the Valley, or is that all across Unity? Does everyone do that?
Nothing happens all across Unity.
Okay.
But Unity is a very individualized kind of, it really works on people working on their own individual spirit and heart and mind. And we really believe people have the right to choose their spiritual path. So there's an awful lot of Unity churches that have similar services at the beginning of the new year. I think pretty much universally everybody does something in Unity around releasing the old and opening up to a brighter future and new growth in the new year, but not necessarily the same services we do. These are just services that I feel like have been very, very good and instrumental in my, 17 years of ministry. So, but every minister and every Unity Church gets to do it their own way. So I can't say if everybody does this or not.
All right. Well, it does happen at Unity of the Valley. So if you are looking for a new church, or any church, I mean, if you've been like myself, I was raised, my mother was Catholic, and then growing up in foster care, I lived in various areas of Christianity and had it shoved down my throat, and I really moved away from the church. And one of the things I really like about Unity is the accepting nature that you can be, it is based on Christianity, but you can be any religion, you can be any faith, and you're going to be openly accepted there. And that's one of the things that why I really wanted to have you on the show and to talk about Unity, because I think it is such an important asset to the world, especially right now with everyone searching and a lot of people moving away from traditional religions. I think it's really valuable. So we're going to be back with more of Reverend Julie Montag. She is the chair of the board of the Association of Unity Churches International, and she is also the minister at White Rock Unity. That's Unity of the Valley, and you can find them at whiterockunity.com. They are in South Surrey /White Rock, BC, if you are looking for a new place to go on Sundays. We'll be back with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul in just a moment.
Morning.
Good day to you, sir. Hey, wait a minute, what the hell? Getting real tired of you ducking me, man. Yeah?
Oh, my God.
Thank you to all the donors who pledged their financial support during the CITR on-air fund drive. We are moved by your generosity, and thank you for enabling us to purchase new equipment and improve our programming. Do remember to stop by the station, pay your pledges, and pick up your prizes. We look forward to meeting you anytime between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Thank you again for your amazing response. Listen to our happy voices on the air, happier after we purchase new equipment for our studios. Thanks again.
Oh, my God! All right, let's go to the bank.
Okay, welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I just want to make it clear, if you did make a pledge to the CITR funding drive, thank you so much. We are not going to come and beat you up if you don't come in and pay, as the commercial may suggest. But we would really appreciate you coming in and paying your pledge, because that's what the funding drive was for. We need to have money to buy new equipment for the station. So thank you so much for your donations. Please make sure, if you haven't already, to stop by and pick up your prizes and drop off your pledge. Thank you again. So we are back with Reverend Julie Montag. Again, she is the chair of the board of the Association of Unity Churches International. If you want to get on the air and ask a question about Unity, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You can also email spiritualshow@gmail.com. And I want to let you know, also in 2010, I'm going to be starting a new show online. It'll be on Blog Talk Radio. So always check my website, spiritualshow.com, for more updates. And I have recently started co-hosting a new show on Blog Talk with my friend Laurel Bleeden Maffei. She has been on this show a couple of times. She's a channel for the angelic realm, and she has a new show called Illuminating Souls, and I've been co-hosting with her, helping her out with that a bit. And tomorrow, Saturday, December 19th at 4 p.m., we're going to be having a two-hour special online. Go to blogtalkradio.com/illuminating souls if you are interested in the topic of gay rights. There has been some talk about in Uganda the possibility of the government executing people for their sexual orientation. And there are also other, you know, we're just amazed that, this kind of thing is going on in 2009. It's the 21st century. So we're going to be talking about that for 2 hours tomorrow online. Again, that's on Blog Talk Radio. The name of the show is Illuminating Souls. It's not going to be talking about how bad it is that this is going on, though. What the show is going to be about is about shedding light on the subject and sending love to all the parties involved, sending love to people so that we can move into a higher state of consciousness, a higher state of acceptance and loving of all people, of all walks of life, of all sexual orientations, of all lifestyles. So we want it to be really inclusive. And I invite you to join me tomorrow at 4 p.m. Pacific if you're interested in that topic. Welcome back to the show, Reverend Julie.
Hi, Marie, can I make a correction? I said .com, and our website is really .org.
Oh.
I just checked it. We changed it not too long ago, and it used to be a .com, so.
WhiteRockUnity.org?
.org, yeah.
Right. And I will put a link up to that website on my site, spiritualshow.com. So if you are listening to the podcast of this, check out my past episodes page, and there will be a link to whiterockunity.org. And you can also find more. There's probably a link there to the main Unity organization as well, is there?
Yeah, and that is just plain unity.org. So they're easy to find on the web.
Wonderful. Thank you. So I wanted to ask you now, you just came back from the Parliament of World Religions in Melbourne, and that must have been incredibly exciting. I talked with you for a couple minutes on the phone the other day, and there were a couple of things that you mentioned that were really interesting. Number one is that there were a group of women from the Muslim faith speaking about human rights and women's rights. And then there were also representatives from the Rastafarian religion. I would love to hear about what kind of things went on at this Parliament of World Religions, and how were you impacted by that?
Well, it was an amazing experience. It was all about how religions can become more interfaith and join together for some things that we all want to have happen, and work together and have a bigger impact on changing the world. And we talked about things like the ecology, global warming, all of those kinds of things. We talked about human rights. We talked about clean water and food for everyone on the planet. And we talked about disease, healthcare, all kinds of topics that had to do with issues on the planet, AIDS in Africa. There were events. There were over 660 different panels or seminars or workshops that went on in 6 days. There were so many things to choose from. You couldn't even get to them all. But it was amazing. And one of the things that did stand out for me was one of them that I went to that was on women's rights in the Islam tradition. I was interested in that because we had a what everyone suspects to be an honor killing from a Muslim woman who came to a yoga class in our church. And this happened several years ago, but it was very tragic to us and impacted our church. It was important for me to really understand how Muslim women think about how this is going on. And I learned that according to the women, there's nothing in the Talmud that gives a man the right to kill his wife or daughter or whatever if she doesn't follow, you know, the strict code that they've put on. There's no condoning of violence in the Talmud, and there's also many rights that women have within that religion that keep them protected, and so, you know, I learned a lot there. Just because, you know, that something is not specifically said in the Talmud, I think the Talmud's just like the Bible. There's many, many interpretations. And some of the interpretations of the Talmud have gotten very violent against women, and women's rights are not to the level that we experience in the West. So it was a very interesting experience. I went away sad in some ways about not having equal rights for women in this very large, Muslim is one-fifth of the world population right now. So, very large religion, and women live under, less than equal rights in many, many ways.
Well, I think that it's what you said about the interpretations. I mean, people take the Bible, for instance, and I don't know a lot about other, like the Talmud or the Quran, but anyone can take a book, or I mean, even it even happens with stuff that's published today, New Age stuff. People read it and they regurgitated in a different way, and it just comes out a lot of the time completely different than what the true intention was. And I mean, I guess people are going to take people try and move their reality around what suits them, and so if they have an opinion, they're going to find a way to make that opinion feel like it's okay to feel that way.
Right. I mean, a lot of people have used religion, used spirituality to incite people, to control people, to, wreak havoc on our planet. I mean, we've seen it. And everything in the last 100 years, we've seen so many religious wars and so much fighting and so much death caused by arguments over religion. But when you get underneath what looks like an argument about religion, it's really an argument about human rights, and it's about equality, and it's about controlling some of the abundance of the world, the haves and the have-nots. So, it's a very complex thing, but it's sad to me that rulers or people that are leaders of any kind of aggressive group would use religion to try and force their way. That's one of the things that I think the Parliament is trying to eradicate by getting people together and saying, the most of the people in the religions are very, very committed to knowing our oneness, to knowing that there's really only one God for all of us. And even though we disagree on some of the theology, we all can feel the connection with the Creator, however you see that. And so I was inspired by the Parliament because it's trying to eradicate some of that. But it's a big struggle. I mean, there's a lot to be done there.
Well, I think that it's so true that the majority of people who practice religion have, have good intentions and loving intentions, and the true essence of pretty much any religion that I've ever come across is the fact that, we are loved by God, that we are all connected in some way, and I don't think that it matters so much what book it is that you're reading. It matters more what's in your heart, and I think that this acceptance and this not fighting in wars about religion, I think it all starts within each and every one of us. We can't control what goes on in another person. We can't make another person change their opinion, but what we can do is hold that space of love in our hearts for them and for all of our brothers and sisters and all of the beings on this planet. And I think that really that's the way, in my opinion, that we make a real impact in the world, is first starting within ourselves.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And, I think for me how it works is that when someone who's really afraid, and, anyone who's hurt and afraid, if you've just seen an animal that's wounded and afraid, you know they're dangerous. Well, it's worse with human beings. When human beings are hurt, wounded, and afraid, they strike out. And anything we can do to make people feel a little less fear, a little more loved, a little safer on this planet is the extension of that love that allows us to spread peace around the world. But we can't do that unless we're feeling safe within ourselves and we're feeling love for not only ourselves, but for the whole universe. You know, to be able to get into that space where you know that nothing and no one is against me, and I am connected to the Creator. And so everything that happens in my life is here for my growth and learning, and I don't need to be afraid of the circumstances. And when you get there, you can extend love to others.
Well, Julie, Reverend Julie, I want to ask a question that brings up for me, is that I think a lot of us, most of the people probably listening to this show, would agree with your statement about knowing that nothing in the universe is against me, that you are loved by the Creator. And we know that in our logical minds, mm-hmm. but our conditioning of fear, we've been conditioned to worry. We've been conditioned to have fear. I'm wondering, for you, as a minister who has been studying this for so long, are you yet in a place where those fears never come up, or do you still deal with them?
I think it's part of the human condition for things to come up. I always say it's the question, the practice, the spiritual practice is how long does it take you to return to your right mind? See, I think that when we go into fear, we go into worry and upset about something, we've forgotten who we are and who and what we're connected to. And when we forget our innate innocence, our innate beauty, our innate magnificence, when we forget who we are, made in the image and likeness of God, then we move into fear. And we move into separation, and we move into feeling like nobody understands us, and nobody, we have no power, and everything is against us. So we need to have practices, and that's where, to me, where unity shines, is because we are all about teaching people and helping people with practices to use when they get into those situations to turn their minds and feelings back into knowing their oneness and knowing they're safe and knowing they're loved and moving back into that consciousness. You know, there's really only a couple, you know, a thought between, you know, being a victim or being a abuser and being someone who is loving and connected to all. You know, it's really a thought system. And so when we learn how to reprogram our thought system so that when we do have something come up that looks scary or challenging, I mean, the car accident, the losing your job, the divorce, whatever it is that comes up in our life, our immediate reaction, of course, is to get afraid and angry and upset. But there is another part of us that we can connect to that says, wait a minute, there's something here for me to learn and grow from. And in the long run, it's all going to work for good. And so let me just relax for a minute, slow down, and take a look at this from another angle and see what is mine to do and what I can do to bring light to this situation. And what I've noticed is when I can be in a scary circumstance and I can connect to the innate love in me and move into that place of feeling safe and secure, I can respond in a way to life so that scary circumstances seem to transform before my eyes. I really believe in the power of love to change things.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Julie. It's so it sounds like what you're saying is that everyone everyone experiences the human condition. Everyone has times when they feel low or they forget their connection. But it's a matter of when you are practicing, it becomes a habit so that you're much more easily and quickly able to move back into that state of connection, as opposed to staying disconnected and staying in that worry, anger, fear mindset.
Absolutely. And it sounds like you know how to do that too.
I try. On a good day, I know how to do that. I guess it depends on how far you allow yourself to get turned around.
Yeah, and you know, we always say unity isn't about spiritual perfection, it's about spiritual progress. And I remember, you know, 20, 30 years ago, when I was a young person, how quickly and easily I could lose my temper, or I could get upset about something, or I could take offense at something someone said or did to me. And how now, when someone, you know, may say something that in the past would have hurt my feelings, there is this place I go to that says everything that someone says or does is either an expression of love or a call for love. And what am I going to choose to do in this situation? Am I going to extend the love they're calling for? And so it just, you know, the time frame between going through the anger or the hurt and then returning to the idea of, well, I wonder why they said that mean thing, or I wonder why they're behaving in this way, and maybe it's because they're feeling scared and unloved, and how could I help lift them out of that? That time frame from going to wanting to react and, you know, be angry back to wanting to support and help has gotten shorter as I've grown spiritually, right? And hopefully, you know, sometimes now it's just a second and I'm back in my right place. And sometimes it takes a little longer, but it's certainly the time span has shortened so much from, you know, a few years back. And I continue to grow in that because I keep working on it.
Awesome.
That's what the spiritual path is about, is keep working. You know, it's keep trying it, because I don't think any of us are going to, you know, ever be completely perfect at it, because the universe is always about evolving and growing. So we get to one level and there's more to do.
Exactly. Beautiful. Well, we're going to be back with more synchronicity. It's time for a break. So we'll be back with more synchronicity here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver in just a moment.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a big sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now is the time.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul on CITR 101.9 FM, as well as online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, and on the Co-Creator Network. You can also find my website, SpiritualShow.com, and you can find out lots more information about the show, as well as some of the things that are going to be happening in 2010. As I mentioned earlier, I am going to be hosting a new show starting sometime in early 2010. So I invite you to also listen to that. That'll be online, though. And we are talking today with Reverend Julie Montag. She is the chair of the board of the Association of Unity Churches International. And she has her own location of Unity. It's whiterockunity.org if you'd like more information about that. They're called Unity of the Valley, and they're at 156th and 24th Avenue in South Surrey, close to the border of South Surrey and White Rock. So I invite you to check them out. Welcome back to the show, Reverend Julie.
Thanks, Marie.
Hi. So we were talking about the practice of connection, the practice of evolving, because it is a constant evolution. And as you said, I mean, no matter how good you get at it, at staying connected, there's always going to be a new level that you reach, because that's what the universe is about. The universe is about expansion and evolution and growth. So
absolutely.
I think that's so important to remember that. And because for myself, I get frustrated with myself because I know this stuff. I know it in my logical mind. I've learned it, but putting it into practice all the time. I mean, it's easy to put things into practice. It's easy to stay connected when everything is going well and you're having a good day or a good week or whatever. But it's when things get tough, it's when things get stressful, that you really need to rely on that practice to bring yourself back. And that's when it is a challenge for me. And I'm sure it's that way for most people, that when things are difficult, that's when practicing love and forgiveness and acceptance and remembering our connection is the most difficult. And so that's one of the reasons why it's so important to, in my opinion, and I don't know if you would agree, I think it's so important to practice that now when you are doing well. That way, when you're not, you're more in the habit of it.
Well, yeah, it's a daily and a moment by moment practice. And I think we also believe very much in the power of meditating and using what we call affirmative prayer, which is really knowing the truth about ourselves and reminding ourselves throughout the day that we're connected to God and one with God, and that love is really the only thing that matters. So, you know, it's all about love. Can I tell you a story about a Unity minister one time that was mugged in New York?
Oh, yes, please.
She was in New York, and that's not where her church is, but her church is in a nearby area. And she was in New York, and a guy pulled her into an alley, put a gun to her head, and asked for her purse. And she immediately turned her purse over, and she said to him, "You know, I know you think you really need what's in this purse, and you are welcome to it, but I want you to know that God loves you and I love you, and you can be so much more than this." And he looked at her, and there was this moment of connection, eye to eye, and he just put the gun away and ran away with her purse. Well, he looked in her purse and found out who she was, and then he took her purse to the police station, confessed to what he did, gave the entire contents, taking nothing, gave the entire contents to the police, and went to jail for 3 months for the mugging that he did. And when he got out of jail, he looked this minister up and came to her church and told her that moment transformed his life and became a member of her church and is one of the most outstanding spiritual people in her church now, and it's been with her church for many, many years now. And to me, that's how quickly spirit can wake someone up if we can create an energy field of love for them to be able to take a look and see that there's a better way.
That is so amazing. I actually, a few months ago, there was a video online of a news story of something very similar happening. This young man had been laid off, and he was broke and trying to support his family, and he was robbing, I believe it was an armed robbery. He was robbing like a money mart or some kind of place that had money. And the woman that was being held up did something similar. And she prayed with him. And he actually ended up praying with her and talking to her, and he ended up leaving her safe. I think he took like $30 or something like that, and I think he ended up turning himself in. But I mean, he had a gun. He was in that situation, like what we were talking about earlier, when humans are fearful, they're at their most dangerous. I mean, he was fearful, he was hopeless, and he was armed.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and the power of prayer is what saved her, because what happened is she started praying, and she started saying things like, you know, God, please let this man know that he is, you know, he is loved, and I forgive him for what he's doing right now, and, you know, whatever it was that she said touched his heart. And then they sat down together and prayed, and he let her go. And it's so amazing, because it could have ended up completely different.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's been a lot of experiences of that, and I know how powerful it is. I just know how powerful it is. And you know, one thing our spiritual life does is to help protect us, because we have something that most of the world thinks is not very powerful, but in reality is the most powerful protection you can have. And that is really being protected by the power of love. It really does protect us, I think. And so, you know, I think our spiritual paths are not just about trying to help, you know, the world become a more peaceful place. That's certainly a big expression of it. But it's also about each and every one of us having a more abundant and meaningful life. Being able to really look at stories like the ones we're talking about and saying, wow, how is that happening in my life? How is the part of me that's really the terrorist in my head being made to feel safe and loved within me from the part of me that knows the truth about me? Because it that helps us empower our own lives and find the meaning of what we're really here for. You know, I spent 12 years as a hospice chaplain, and I've been with more people in their last breaths than anyone I know. And, you know, no one, as they are going through the process of dying, ever say things like, gee, I wish I worked harder. Gee, you know, I wish I amassed more money. They say things like, gee, I wish I would have spent more time within myself connecting. Gee, I wish I would have had more prayer and meditation time. Gee, I wish I would have connected to my family at a deeper level. Gee, I wish I would have known how to heal my relationships and extended the forgiveness and learned how to come back into oneness with people. Those are the kinds of things people are concerned about at the end of their lives. And I think we need to think about them every day, like it's the end of our lives, you know?
Well, it is. I mean, there's that saying that everyone uses, carpe diem, seize the day. And you really need to, because even if you're young and healthy, you never know. When your number's up, your number's up.
Yeah, and a life is made a moment and a moment and a moment at a time. And we build on it moment to moment to moment. And all of us, hopefully, will live to be 100 years old. But when we look back at the end, we'll say, you know, I made progress. I did my best. You know, I really worked at this and at being the very best person I could be on this planet, and did my best to make a difference, even in one person's life, even in, you know, one person at a time. I mean, I think about what Mother Teresa accomplished. And she said, you know, I never set out to try and accomplish great things. I just set out to try and love the person in front of me. You know, and if we could just love the person in front of us, that would make such a difference. We don't have to set out to do huge things. We just need to do small things in a very great, loving way.
It's amazing. And I love your words, and I love attending your services. I don't attend Unity of the Valley very often because I live in Vancouver. So it's a little bit of a drive for me. And I know you live a bit far away from that location as well. So I appreciate you being of service to that church. I know from the friend of mine that helped me set up this interview with you that you are just such a valued member of the community, and you're really appreciated at Unity. And I thank you so much for being with me today. We just have a few minutes left in the show, so I'm wondering if I'd like to give you an opportunity to say whatever you would like to say about Unity, if you'd like to promote any upcoming services that are happening or upcoming workshops, or what would you like to leave the listeners with today?
Oh, geez. Well, I'm so grateful you've invited me on, and it's been really fun talking to you. A couple things I think are new for Unity to move into in a bigger way, maybe not new, but really our focus is moving in there, and one of them is that Unity is looking at how we do spiritual, sacred, social action. In other words, how can we, as Unity, move further out into the community helping people? And how can we do that in a way where we're not about proselytizing or trying to convert, but just trying to extend love and more love into the community, whether that's helping people who are homeless or helping people that are afraid or fearful, or, you know, encouraging young people into leadership roles, whatever it is. We are working on some of those projects, and we do have several schools in underdeveloped countries being built, and wells going in Africa that Unity folks are doing, orphanages around the world. So we're doing that kind of thing. But I'm looking at how do we do it in our own community too, and so that's an area that we're expanding into. Some of the things I'd like to have people know about Unity of the Valley, though, in White Rock, is our Christmas services we've already talked about, and our Sunday services have excellent music, and it's a wonderful place to come on Sunday, and we have a marvelous time together. And so everybody's invited. We'd love to have you join us. We're also do a thing called Sacred Healing Facilitation, and we're having a lot of people coming in with health issues and challenges and getting a sacred healing session with our trained facilitators, and some wonderful healings are happening. People are able to go off their medication, they're moving out of pain, they're doing some what I guess the world would say miraculous healings are going on through that service we're offering on a love offering basis to anybody who's interested, and they just need to call the church and set up a time to do that. So I'd like people to know about that, because we're so happy about how it's affecting people, knowing that it's not us, but it's the power of the universe, the power of spirit, the power of God that moves in and through all of us. And we, I don't know what else to tell you about Unity of the Valley, except we sure have a wonderful theater arts group that does drama and music, and we're very, very multidimensional. So everyone's welcome.
Wonderful. And you also, so you're at whiterockunity.org, and I heard that you're going to have, in January, you have different speakers that come in, and in January, you have someone who's coming, I believe, who was like a psychic for the CIA.
Well, it's an interesting person. His name is Paul Elder, and he's going to be speaking at our Sunday service on January 24th. And he is a person that was trained at a government level in something they developed back in the 70s and 80s, when psychic phenomena was kind of the new edge of science. And they discovered a technique they called remote viewing. And it's a way for people to go deep into meditation and be able to project themselves on the other side of the planet and be able to just observe what's going on. And it's been used both in Russia and the United States, I guess, for many years, where they have trained people that are able to project their consciousness or their astral body or something. And I don't know as much about it. I've read a couple books about it, but it's so accurate. And they're finding out things that they, you know, had no way of knowing other than this, and they would find out that they were absolutely correct. Now, the problem with any kind of observation, whether you're there present or you're doing it in consciousness, is that what you're observing goes through meaning in the consciousness of the viewer. And as we're finding out in quantum physics, that observation can actually change the results. So there's always that level of error there, but it's a very interesting process, and he's going to talk about it on Sunday, January 24th with us.
Awesome. So if you are interested in Unity Church and you live in the Lower Mainland, there's also one in Vancouver on Oak Street. But if you are interested in attending Unity of the Valley, they are at whiterockunity.org, and I will also put a link up to that site on my website, spiritualshow.com. And even if you aren't interested in attending regularly, I think that this Paul Elder, I think it's going to be a really cool service. He's going to have some interesting things to say. So check that out if you're interested in the topic of remote viewing as well. Well, Reverend Julie, I want to thank you so much for being with me for the hour. Thank you so much for your time and for spreading your light on the world. And I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a Happy New Year.
And I want to wish you one right back. And thank you so much, Marie, for having me. This is really a joyful and wonderful time of year, and it's so great to connect to people that really are of like mind and are so easy to resonate with. So thanks, Marie, for having me on. It was great talking to you.
Thanks again. Happy holidays.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was Reverend Julie Montag. She, again, is the chair of the board of the Association of Unity Churches International. And I want to thank her again for being with us. And she is at whiterockunity.org if you'd like more information about her work and about her ministry there in White Rock at Unity of the Valley. So again, next week there will be no show of Synchronicity. For Christmas Day and also for New Year's Day, the building will be closed. So I get some time off. I'm going to sleep in and enjoy my holiday. And I hope that you enjoy your holiday season so much as well. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Winter Solstice, Yule, whatever it is that you celebrate. Even if you don't celebrate anything, I'm going to invite you to take a moment and just enjoy this season, this changing of seasons. It is a powerful time of year, and I want to send my incredible love and gratitude to you for being a part of this show for the last 12 months, for this year of 2009, and I hope that you will continue to be with me in 2010. I'll be back on January 8th. Up next is Scotty's Scenic Drive here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm going to close the show with the song from the beautiful Surya. Thank you again for being with me, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.